Welcome to the Soccer Central Podcast.
In by Rooney, and in! Another England header, another England goal. It's Gary Cahill, 3 goals, and now surely 3 points.
It's Depay. Oh, and it's beautiful. What a delightful free kick. 2 goals from Memphis Depay, the second half substitute. Win the game for the Netherlands, surely now.
And there's Cristiano Ronaldo making up for the missed penalty with an emphatically taken volley. That seals the win for Portugal.
Y tampoco sería bueno por Estados Unidos. ¡Cabezazo!
¡Gol!
¡Gol!
De México. Rafa, 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 Rafa. ¡Gol! De México.
I tell you, Peter Drury's really changed his style over the last few weeks, hasn't he? Yeah, it's the Soccer Central podcast. It's been a while for you Monday listeners. It's so rare that myself and Thomas Dobby and Brennan Dunlap are in the city at the same time, already given us on the same Monday. But here we are. We're all back together, and there's nothing quite like an international weekend, is there?
Yeah. Finally got the contracts in order so we can come in on an international week Monday.
So we're still not being paid, right?
That's it.
That's correct. And that was Martin Tyler, not Peter Drury.
Sorry.
Let's be real about this.
Martin Tyler Espanol. Up. That's what he sounded like at Wembley. We were walking down the hallways.
Yeah. Well, internationals, the year is over.
You're
that's
thrilled.
The last
you work all weekend. You're fronting the coverage, Sportsnet World. Yeah.
You must be exhausted. No,
you know what? The 3 days are fine. The 6 day windows are tough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, generally speaking, the games are utterly dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a bit of drama yesterday late. Craziness in Bosnia, Herzegovina, against Greece, of course. We did see some drama. We saw, as always, there are some nice goals, but I don't know, boys. There's something really missing. Whether it's the small clubs have figured out the big clubs and they just kill off games, there's not very much good quality football being played, is there?
Yeah, I think, you know, over the years, we've kind of had the discussion that it does lack just because of, you know, you're thrown together, you have a quick training, you get these games in. And as a whole, I think that, you know, the qualifying, when it gets towards the end, obviously, as you see bigger nations, bigger names start to be in trouble, then you get the intrigue where you think, wow, if they slip up here, could they actually miss the World Cup? But there are those.
Argentina.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Netherlands.
Well, I think South American
qualifying. Scraped out a win over Luxembourg, though. Good for them.
But I think South American qualifying is far more watchable
than
European qualifying.
Yeah.
But is there not something to the format as well? I mean, like, I know they wouldn't be, the federations wouldn't be for it because they couldn't drag out the income across 4 years. But what if there was an Olympic style, like Olympic basketball type of tournament where, you know, the summer before the World Cup, instead of the Confederations Cup, you have your qualifying campaign. You play, you know, 8 games in 6 weeks or whatever, however many fixtures you need. I'd be all up for that. That
would be a qualifying tournament. Spectacle. It'd be great, but it's not going to happen. I mean, you do need to give these guys some time off at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might destroy them, but sure, from a spectacle, it'd be
of all
amazing.
The things that we do to them, you think that would destroy them?
Yeah, well, fair. Yeah, maybe cancel some of those summer tours instead, right?
Yeah.
But the clubs are always at battling FIFA over international releases, right? So that's the problem there.
Yeah, we wouldn't get these 16-day windows to halt the MLS playoffs, right?
I was just
before the conference finals for 16 days when we need that break. We need that time off to really kill the momentum of MLS and for everyone to forget about it except outside of Toronto and Montreal. It's anyways.
Sorry, well, Jurgen's got to take the boys to Costa Rica. MLS can't play.
Yeah, we do. You have a pre-qualifying campaign to get rid of the crap, right? And we know who it is. I mean, even Thomas Muller's come out ripping San Marino saying this.
Yeah, get rid of the minnows.
Not football. They won 8-0, second string Germany. 8-0.
Oh, but he's okay. But when Ronaldo does it to Iceland, it's a problem. What a jerk.
Yeah, well, you know what? Iceland, though, I mean, that's the people say. A few years ago, Iceland was in that group. Of
They would never have made the Euros.
Sure, but there's must be a method that there's a chance for these minnows to rise to the top A-League of qualifying.
Much
at
like
some
the
point,
FA
perhaps.
Cup, there's some teams have played 6 rounds before they get to that third round with the big money against the Man Uniteds and Liverpools. And, I mean, I think that maybe that tiered system does kill off any hope that these teams have because they think, oh, just to get there, we have to go through. But maybe it makes them better and and maybe it does, you know, provide a launching off point.
Does How does 8-0 make you better?
No, I mean, I meant like the qualifying, going in and doing the pre-qualifying. Yeah, I was trying to think if, you know, that would...
You mean if you grouped Europe the way they group Asia?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you group all those teams in that pre-qualifying. Exactly, with Luxembourg and Faroe Islands.
I don't know why I went straight...
Please play Guatemala or whatever it is.
I don't know why I went straight to Asia, but you mentioned 8-0. You know, does 8-0 make you better? And I thought instantly of that line from that Thomas Rongen movie, Next Goal Wins. The guy's like, they needed 9, you only gave them 8? That's progress. That's progress, guys. Poor American Samoa.
I mean, it shouldn't be about, you know, I hate using the line, it's a game for them to tell their grandkids about. This is professional soccer. It shouldn't be about that. Yeah, it's lovely for these teams, some of these players.
Is it, though, when you're one of the 6 firemen in your nation or in your town?
Still a nice little story, right, to say that you played against Thomas Müller.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
But, I mean, from a professional football standpoint, I mean, come on. You know, we don't need to see these games. They're boring.
Right.
You know, this past match day 4, there were no surprises.
Yeah, what stood out to you? What are you going to remember? That was a great game.
Not one. You know, I mean, the Dutch were held tight by Luxembourg, but Luxembourg's improved in that they're defensively organized now, at least. But they're going to lose every game. Liechtenstein's utterly dreadful. Estonia's brutal.
Yeah. I find myself, when it comes to these, I'm always just cheering for the big boys to drop points so that we have more drama and we have some of that. But then it gets down to it and you're like, I missed the Dutch at the Euros. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't want to really see the big boys miss. And as much as I loathe Portugal at times, I don't want to see a major tournament without them. Mm-hmm. We wanted them to be there so we can loathe them there and grind their way to win. I was watching some of that game on the weekend, and I said to my girlfriend, I said, I still can't believe they won that tournament. No. I still can't believe it.
I could believe it if they won it playing the style they're playing now.
That's
right.
They were so crap.
How they won it playing the way they did. I mean, listen, good for them. They won it. But I'm watching Portugal now in qualifying, and they're bringing some exciting kids in there. Andre Silva looks fantastic.
Well, now they're full of confidence because they just won the Euro.
Yeah, well, perhaps, yeah.
They're feeling great about themselves because they just won the tournament. And full credit to them. Full credit to them.
With
but
every
I don't
passing
know how they
minute
did
this
it.
Weekend, it just reinforces the fact how utterly shite Euro was.
Yeah, it was poor.
It really was a poor tournament. In comparison,
it got progressively worse, right? It just went down as we went.
That semifinal against Wales was the highlight of Portugal's
flamboyant
play.
It definitely was, 2-goal thriller.
Do you think part of it, though, I remember years ago watching internationals, and it was exciting because at that point, I'm talking about years and years ago, most players are based in their home countries.
So you're talking about the '30s.
Yeah, the '30s. Yes, yes. Me wearing my top hat.
Right before the Great Depression.
The game.
Yes.
No, but you watch these teams, you see Spain play, for example, and now you're seeing these Spanish names you've heard about, you haven't seen play.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've seen all these guys. You've seen them all. You know, I'm not surprised by watching Portugal or Spain or Argentina. I know who these guys are.
Mm-hmm.
There's no mystique around international football anymore. Is that what, I mean, that's not going to change because the way it's a global market, you're going to see the best players in the best leagues. And there's so much soccer on TV now, you can watch whatever you want pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you don't have Sportsnet World, in which case.
Yeah, in which case you're in trouble. Yeah, no, it's an interesting point. It's tough for me to kind of weigh in on that one too much because I would say.
Because you weren't around in the 30s?
Well, when I really started, you know, sinking my teeth in, I was probably the mid to late 90s. So, like, it was already started. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't. I can't think back to the 80s or even when the Premier League was just forming, when it wasn't really like that. So it's tough for me to say, oh, yeah, back in the day, that mystique around those teams. And I think you're right, though. I mean, you're just so inundated with information all the time and these players, and you know them, and you know kind of who's playing where. And it is something different than the international game. And I will say personally, it's so tough to follow every league, and it's so tough to follow all of these international teams. So sometimes I am surprised. It's funny. Yeah. I'll go through and watch some highlights or see the goals of players. I'm like, he plays for them. I didn't know that. So there's still some of that factor with not knowing.
Young players, especially coming through. I mean, Andre Silva, I mentioned with Portugal, right? I haven't seen him play much. I've heard about him a lot. But in the last couple of games against pretty awful teams, he's looked very good.
Yeah, he's a good player.
And he's a guy that's probably going to be, by the time the World Cup rolls around, he's probably going to be a guy. Sorry, Porto fans. But going to be a guy that's going to be playing, you know, every week on my TV somewhere.
Mm-hmm. In China,
perhaps.
Yeah, on your TV,
With Hulk and AVB.
But doesn't this just once again validate how awful the idea is of an expanded World Cup?
Yes.
Infantino wants 40, 48 teams. He wants pre-qualifying for that. Well, isn't that just qualifying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just think, if they didn't expand the Euros, then Portugal wouldn't have got through the group. So, and Dunlop wouldn't have gone.
But again, though, had they known that,
what would I have done with that $7,000?
You wonder, though, with Portugal's whole mindset being different. If they knew in the group phase that the top three don't go through, they may have, okay, geez, we better step it up, boys.
They wouldn't have been eliminated. You're right. I think that they would have played completely different. I feel like when it comes to the qualifiers, it's almost like they exist for the nostalgia of all of different generations to get together. You know what I mean? Like, every time Portugal plays in a qualifier, my grandfather will, I was going to say, send me a text. That'd be a lie. But somehow I get a message from my grandfather about Portugal and Latvia. Right. Right? And it's one of those things that that kind of come around and still keep you interested in international football before the tournament comes. And I don't know, for guys like him, I think they really enjoy it.
It's also a chance for that feel-good factor for the teams as well. And I think that, you know, maybe for the big boys, that is a positive that they do want to have. Okay, here's your home match against Luxembourg, or here's your home match against Latvia, and go, and the teams kind of gain that confidence, and it does build that towards that next major tournament where you think, okay, like, something's progressing here with England. Oh, they've had four managers since, and will Wayne Rooney ever get dropped? You know, there's all these questions that kind of build throughout that qualifying campaign. I will say, like, as much as we're crapping on it, the overall, when you, like, look back as you get to a tournament, right, as you're getting to those and you start to look back at the qualifying and start to parse the information, think, okay, how did this go for them, or when did they start to bring it together? It does make it interesting to look back and kind of figure out how you think the tournament might play out or why things might go a certain way and reflecting upon them. So I think
you see England going 100% in qualifying.
And you think, they got a chance. Exactly. Every single major tournament. Right. You and I get our hopes up because they were so good in qualifying.
Yeah.
So really,
qualifying means nothing.
No, it doesn't.
You should hate qualifying.
Just get there. Just get there.
Sure. For the tease that it is. You're right.
Of course.
You should hate it for the tease that it is, then. That's what you're saying.
But back to your grandfather for a second. Yeah. I understand why he's looking forward to Portugal-Latvia chance. But correct me if I'm wrong, but he's probably not the guy on social media every day finding out information about various players, various teams. He's not watching 18 games a weekend.
No, I know.
He's not going to tune into the Bosnia-Herzegovina-Greece match when, you know, he's already seen Portugal play that match day, right? He's a regular human being, unlike us idiots who watch too much soccer.
Right.
Is that what it is? Us idiots watch too much soccer. We get jaded by it because we're just inundated with this negativity.
And the Premier League, it's just, like you said, it's just so much more exciting on the games, right? The actual quality.
I'm not, you know, putting down the fact that we show the games. I'm glad we do. It is still relevant, obviously. But the energy level this weekend compared to what it'll be next weekend.
That's tough.
It's nothing like it.
Yeah.
There's no comparison.
No.
Right? Because you know the results pretty much. This weekend, there were no surprises.
Mm.
Right? If not for that Greece game, there was nothing they would even talk about.
Yeah.
Right? The Dutch were held tough for a bit. I mentioned that. You know, all the big boys did what they had to do.
Mm-hmm. And everyone at home saying, poor you, Sharms.
I
totally get what you're saying. I know it's tough to get up for. I watch way less this weekend than I would on a Premier League weekend.
Right.
You know what I mean? A Premier League weekend, if I miss a game or I miss a window of a game, I make sure that it's on PVR. I make sure I see the highlights. Like, I want to know everything that happened in those games. Where this weekend, I'll catch 20 minutes here
really
and there
care
of a
about
game.
Who won between Bulgaria and Belarus?
I'll just go through the scores at the end of the day mainly. I'll watch 20 minutes here and there. I watched the England game on Friday at work, and that was I was away this weekend, but I didn't make an effort to see all the goals. I mean, I figure I'll come across what I'm going to see. I'll read up a little bit on the scores here and there. I'll check the table and see what's going on for the next match, but I'm not inundated in it.
For,
no way.
For example, Cyprus played Gibraltar.
Oh, what was the score there?
Cyprus won 3-1.
How dare you not know that?
Two bad teams in the same group, right? If you're pre-qualifying, you get rid of at least one of those teams, and each group's stronger, so therefore each game within the group is going to be a little bit more relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, how about that Cypriot grandfather who doesn't get the moment to share a message through seven people and someone's email address to get to his son in Vancouver?
But he does, though.
Surprising new Cypriot, though. What would you call somebody from Gibraltar? A Gibraltar?
I don't know.
Gibraltese.
That doctor that used to work for
Gibraltese?
Chelsea? She was...
Eva Carneiro? Was she from Gibraltar?
Yeah, I always thought she was Portuguese.
So she was the rock of Gibraltar.
Who was that, sorry?
Eva Carneiro.
Oh, yeah?
Doctor, the old Chelsea doctor.
She was...
She's from Gibraltar.
Really?
Yeah. 30,000 people in Gibraltar. All right.
We know someone who was brought up in Gibraltar, don't we?
Our old boss?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, brought up there? Or did he just own part of it?
I think his dad owned part of it.
Oh, okay.
But he
spent a lot of time.
A lot of time there.
Gibraltarian?
Is that what it is?
He's a Gibraltarian. She's a Gibraltarian.
Wow.
All right.
And wouldn't it be a silent,
the more you
wouldn't
know.
Wouldn't it really be a silent G? Gibraltarian?
What do they speak in Gibraltar? Because it was...
English.
It's English, isn't it? Yeah.
Official language, English. Spoken language, Spanish and Lenito.
I know there's a rock there.
Yeah, the Rock of Gibraltar.
And I believe many years ago, the SAS shot some terrorists there.
Oh, yeah? Their anthem is God Save the Queen.
Yeah? Yeah. You know, did you hear the... whose anthem is it? It's the exact same tune as God Save the Queen. Oh, it's a tiny little nation. It was on
Gibraltar.
Gibraltar, that's what it was. Yes.
Nailed it.
No. It was, I think it was on Saturday's Games.
They just stole it.
I thought you were going to take a crack at Scotland for a second. That's where I thought this was going.
They just stole it and then. No,
they
didn't steal it. I've got a little story behind it.
You know how you guys, we've just been talking for 18 minutes about how...
We shut the damn game.
The internationals are not that important.
Exactly. You're proving your point.
Yeah, exactly. We actually showed this game and I can't remember.
This is what I feel like this portion of the podcast for Kelly Marr and Tiger Sammy will be like the international window, what we just described.
Would you say, Lance? Liechtenstein?
Charms? That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah, they play, it's God Save the Queen. And that apparently was a free-for-all until... I think 1745.
Oh wow!
Yeah, no one knows where it came from originally, but several countries use the same tune,
right? Because it was one of the seven songs that had ever been invented,
right?
So they just claimed
at that point, 1745,
right?
But strangely enough, what's the name again? Your favorite band?
My favorite band.
Yeah.
When it comes to music,
you always talk about and you've been loving for years and years and years. Oh, you know the one.
Ah, oh, God. Testing my memory here. No.
I'm being facetious here.
Oh, right.
Florence.
Oh, Florence right.
I believe she was still releasing songs in 1745.
Oh.
She's so old.
Does she have a remix to God Save the Queen? Because that would be stellar.
Yeah, strong vocals.
Hmm. All right.
Anyway, we got some tweets. We got a tweet about the weekend's game. It's more about the England situation. And it's from Tiger Sammy. Off the pitch, he speaks well. On the pitch, England have been unconvincing. Southgate for manager. Huh. It's going to be announced, I imagine, maybe even before the Spain game. You never know. They're playing Spain Tuesday. There's no one else out there. Now, some people are saying, well, wait until next summer when there's more managers available.
Yeah. I mean, how can you give such a big man, such a big job, such a big spot to somebody with no experience? Oh, wait. Didn't they just... give the presidency to somebody that makes sense.
Did you just bring politics to this sports podcast?
Goodness. What was I saying?
Something about how much you
Gareth Southgate.
Trump's president.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Here's my question. Who negotiated the four-match judgment? Was it him? Was it the FA?
It wasn't a negotiation. It's just we've got four games left in the year. We're going to have a manager by the end of the year.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. So here you go. Give it a whirl.
It's mid-cycle. Like, to me, that doesn't make sense other than the fact that you want the papers to get off your back. But they're just going to jump on you for a new reason.
But
so you wait until March to find someone else?
Well, I think it seems like
wait until...
You wanted
Gary
quicker.
Monk gets fired by Leeds?
What was it to see them? Because this is what I got from Southgate. From the beginning, it seemed as though he was out to prove, I deserve this full-time job. Now, he's talking like, you know, my people, we're going to have to like sit and talk. And it's been an interesting bit.
I imagine
if he turned it down.
I think it was more on him. I think the FA wanted him. I think it was more on him to decide, you got four games, do you fancy this job or not? You know, he's been their guy for a long time. He was always going to be the England manager at some point. He's been groomed for the job. He's the grey man. He's not going to say anything stupid. He's smart. I think he's a decent coach. And I think long term, this makes a lot of sense because he's come through the system with the U21s. Mm-hmm. He's in charge of all the youth grey football, which is actually really good right now in England internationally. They're winning games to beat Italy this past week. They're going to be at Euro next year. And there's some good talent coming through that system, which he's kind of been nurturing. So I don't think he's going to be even graded on the World Cup in 2018if he's given the job, which he will be. I think it's looking long term here.
As long as he gets the most out of Danny Rose and Daniel Sturridge and the guys that performed for him.
Marcus Rashford and these guys. I agree. I think it's actually what they should do for now. I think they should stick with him. And I think it just kind of speaks to what we've kind of been talking about of, you know, the decline of the international game, where this isn't a highly coveted job, really, right now. People aren't throwing their name in the hat, right? I mean, Sam Allardyce, dream job. Okay, that was a bit of an underwhelming thing. Obviously, we know what happened there. But I don't think that people are lining up for this job right now. And it's not like they can just pick out whoever they want. So
it's
I think
reflective of England, though, than I think international manager.
Yeah, maybe. But even on a whole, I mean, look, you look at when an international manager has a really good run or a good track record, like Conte, for instance. Okay, well, huge money job in the Premier League. That's more enticing to somebody, where week in, week out,
right,
you're more, you get more acclaim, you're more in the news, you get paid more. It's just a better gig. I think international managers are becoming something for young managers trying to prove themselves, and or old guys who are kind of one last
ride. Who's the big name now in international management? Who's a sexy, big, huge name?
Like Roberto Martinez going in the middle. But the thing is, he's
there to redeem his personality.
Exactly. He's failed, and he's a guy that's looking for a job to kind of redeem that and go elsewhere. And it was surprising still that it happened, right?
Yep.
You're not seeing anymore that the big guys are in international. When Mourinho does it in 15 years, okay. But
it's the last guy, right?
Exactly. There's no big name managers. It's not about that, because it's so little.
It seems now it's a chance for a big name or a guy to take a bit of a breather from club football.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like Conte, 2 or 3 years, you know, build his reputation. When there's a bigger job available to him, then he's going to jump ship.
Or go see the world, like Goose Hitting. Just manage some ridiculous team that you know nothing about and just go and take the money and keep your reputation going. I mean, some managers are more suited to international play, but like Gareth Southgate, I mean, he's been in the England under 21 setup. He's been gearing up for this, right? And this is a guy that is going to want it, and he's going to, you know, really attack it. And I think that based on the track record and the game so far, minimal against minimal opposition, I don't think it's a bad decision. I think that's good for some stability. And again, him being with a lot of these players and the way this team is set up right now in the transition, I think it's the right call.
To see, Aitor Karanka says that he believes Southgate can make England the new Spain.
Really?
Ringing endorsement.
Karanka said that?
Yeah, well, it comes from all the points you've just evidenced. Well, like, he's so familiar with these players.
The Middlesbrough.
I'm going to say
these are the players he's getting out. Well, I'm sure it was.
I know you mean, yeah. And I think there's something too. I'm not suggesting for a second that the players coming through the English system are like the players coming through the Spain system back in that day. But there's something to be said for it, you know, that stability. And there is some talent. I think, technically speaking, you're seeing the young England players now are very technical players. It's more of a mental thing with England, but we discussed that before. You mentioned Roberto Martinez. Can we judge him? I mean, he brings in Thierry Henry and we think, oh boy, here we go again. You know, great attack, but no defense. Well, you know, they played 4 games in qualifying. They scored 19 goals.
21.
Is it 21 goals?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, 21 goals, given up 1 goal. But the group involves Greece, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Cyprus, Estonia, Gibraltar. Right? Are we saying that, oh, wow, no wonder Belgium suffered before. They had the wrong man in charge. Now they've got the right guy in charge.
Hey, in a 72-team World Cup, if they're winning games 8-7, I'll
take that.
They'll look great in the group stage, and then it'll get to a Wales in the knockout stages. Yeah.
Well, I think more and more, we see more and more of these teams, this means nothing, right? It's all about, you have to cement your credentials in the tournament proper. Pretty much every team at this point, because the top teams are going to qualify. Even the Dutch, I mean, they're now into second place despite a slow start. Mm-hmm. I think they're probably going to qualify, although Sweden's playing better without Ibra than with him. Who knows?
Saw that coming.
Yeah. other tweets internationally kind of connected. There weren't any. Thanks for the feedback, guys.
No, there were some other tweets, though.
Were there? Yeah, no, there were. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Just not internationals?
No, well, actually, Frank Lampard's going to retire. Yeah. At least he's going to leave New York City FC.
Yeah, so he's not going to retire. He's going to go to China.
Probably, yeah. Right. But his career numbers here, 302 goals in 1,018 games for club and country. For a midfielder, that's pretty impressive.
Uh-huh.
And for New York City FC, a really poor start, injury-wise. Played 31 games, 15 goals and 3 assists.
See, I don't feel like I remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember scoring that many goals.
I wrote down some Steven Gerrard stats because he posted a picture on Instagram with the caption, special place, incredible view, I will miss you, LA, hashtag La La Land. And he's standing there holding a Oakland Raiders can of Bud
beer,
Light.
Yeah.
That's Gerrard?
Yeah. That's Gerrard. This is last night, yeah. Really? So
was he actually there? Gerrard, did he play for the Galaxy?
19 appearances.
19, okay.
3 goals don't matter. You don't expect the goals. But the 19 appearances, and I feel like, oh, okay. And then I thought, because I was coming in and I heard the mention that New York City wasn't going to renew Lampard's contract and thought, I don't know what his numbers were. And I never would have guessed that.
Yeah. No, you can't say he was a bust, but certainly in the last game against TFC, he was invisible.
Do you think, though, that Major League Soccer got what they thought they were getting from Lampard and Gerrard? If this is the end of the two of them now.
Well, Lampard, it's tough to argue the stats, right? And New York City FC got to the conference semifinals in their second year. Gerrard, no. I mean, that was a disaster.
Yeah.
It really is. And then to talk about Schweinsteiger coming now to Chicago.
Yeah.
He reminds me of a Gerrard, a guy that, you know, MLS is such a fast-paced physical league. If you're broken, you need a bit of pace.
And yeah,
I think it's going to be Gerrard part two.
It's still trying to shrug that notion of guys just coming for that final paycheck when they're over the hill. And I don't think that Lampard and Gerrard, when they came and what they put out, and I don't want to knock the effort, and I'm not going to pretend to watch enough MLS to really weigh in on exactly how good or bad they were, but I don't think it does anything to shake that notion that guys are just coming for that paycheck. I don't think they helped to build the game more to say, look, we can bring stars here. And I don't think that their MLS careers, if they're both over, are going to be remembered at all down the road.
But I made the tweet that, you know, as intriguing as it is to think of Chicago Fire as a team that you actually care about when you see them on the fixture list, if they have someone that you know, maybe this brings a Mario Gomez, who's 30. Someone tweeted about Blair Mjomelli being linked to Montreal.
Yeah,
he's
David
30.
Ruiz.
There's, you know, someone that was guys that was pretty good on the map.
Still
the
in the high end of their prime.
Yeah, or closer to what their prime was.
If Gomez is coming because Schwein is coming, then I don't want Gomez. He shouldn't be coming because his mate's coming. Right?
You wouldn't? Really?
No.
Why?
I wanted to come because he wants to actually play for in a relevant league and do well, not because his buddy's
play
here.
Play in a relevant
new
league.
Country. Irrelevant.
Yeah, slurred your words there together.
Irrelevant. Irrelevant league. Well, listen, I'm not speaking for a certain managers we could mention over the last couple of weeks. Italian managers, for example. Mm. I mean, Gerrard.
What a jerk.
Gerrard flew back, you know, to do host TV shows, you know, and like, he was never that committed, I don't think. Yeah, but Ventura says,
is he writing kids' books? Does he have a podcast?
But Ventura's comments, though, I think they're arrogant. Craig made a good point, though. He goes, you know, as long as MLS allow these aging, broken down superstars to come and then do what they want when they get here, a la Didier Drogba, Steven Gerrard, Beckham, then they have to expect that they'll be seen from a certain optic overseas. And that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm somewhere in between the, you know, these guys are all great and it's whatever to his comments, I think are so beyond ridiculous. I mean, it's just ignorant to not pay attention to what this player is doing that could help your system and help your setup.
Especially
as
he picks Pella from China.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. You're telling me that Graziano Pella playing in China is doing more for him than Giovinco, who's tearing up MLS and has for this long? I mean,
but
it's just so ridiculous.
He looks at Pella, and Pella's 3 months removed from being at a tournament, right? Giovinco might as well be 10 years removed from not starting at Juve.
Forgotten. Yeah.
That's how he sees it.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't see it as the guy who's...
But we
saw remember the Parma days.
Giovinco come off the bench for Italy in the last qualifying phase, the Euro. Couple of games, just 2 games late in qualifying, and he looked great. Mm-hmm. He looked really
he's
good.
Absolutely an international caliber
and
player.
And I'm not saying he's going to start, right? I mean, no one's saying that. But as an option, he offers you something that no one else in that squad offers you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To completely write it off is...
Yeah, say just because... I mean, you don't like him, okay, that's fine. But to say it's because of the league he plays in, it, as much as it's not top quality, not top flight, it's not irrelevant.
Right.
I think it's a relevant league, clearly. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we could beat on about that for a long time.
Shall we take the time now to beat on about TFC and Montreal?
Sure, absolutely.
I still can't believe they scored 5. I still cannot believe that.
Yeah, it was like a month ago, wasn't it?
7-0.
Unbelievable.
I know, but to us it's fresh.
Nah,
this
is
actually the first time that we've seen each other in over a month.
The minute that first goal goes and you think, okay, they've won this leg, 4 goals. There's no way that New York will get 4 goals. And then soon after they get a penalty.
I was still in my mind. I thought, well, they should get another couple. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Even at 2, I thought it's not beyond them for this to be a nail
biter. This is not your... older cousins TFC. I was going to say your grandfather's, but yeah, wasn't your grandfather's or your father's
necessarily. Older brothers, there you go.
Yeah, it's not your older brother's TFC, you know, 3 years ago and they would have lost 5-0 in this game, yeah.
They have no doubt they are the overwhelming favorites to win the cup now. And that's respect to Montreal, who, you know, it's going to be a challenge to get past them. But, sorry, TFC are the favorites to advance.
And if it's Seattle, they would be at home in the final, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
If it's Colorado, would be on the road. So,
let's go Seattle.
I wouldn't mind a trip to Colorado.
Really? On December 10th?
I've never been out there before. Oh. I haven't seen the western side of the continent. Yeah.
TFC going to get by Montreal? TFC going to get by him or what?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that first leg at Olympic Stadium, it's gonna. I'm going up there as a fan. Not
next
working.
Tuesday.
Are you working it?
Yeah, I'm working it.
Oh, perfect.
Next Tuesday.
They give you a night or two nights.
I think two nights.
Wow, luxurious. Lloyd Barker,
D-Bag FC on the road, in Montreal.
I'm giving Lloyd a cool.
I'm working here.
Let's your birthday boy producer work. What do you got to work for?
Yeah,
it's unfair.
Yeah, I wish.
What was I on about?
Oh,
it's going to be boring the first leg. I think it's going to be low scoring. They're playing on that crap turf.
Bouncy.
Yeah.
It's just concrete with green paint.
Speaking of Montreal,
TFC is going to want 0-0, right? They're going to want to shut it down, and I mean you want an away goal, but I mean for them I think you're right, maybe they do grind it down a little bit.
Yeah. But I think if you're Vanny and your TFC, you think you got to start hot. You've got all the momentum and you've got the intimidation factor. I think for the first time in a long time.
It's not like
time,
Montreal aren't playing out of their skin as well. I mean, they went to D.C. and smashed them, right? I mean, they weren't intimidated when they went to New York. I mean, getting that early goal. I mean, Montreal have looked just as impressive,
right? These two teams are peaking at the perfect
time, They absolutely are.
And, it's almost like they planned out the regular season to perfection. Mm-hmm. So it seems like.
I think
maybe Montreal's punching above its weight more so than TFC. I think
so, too. But, yeah. I mean, ignore five goals away. Yep. But yes, I do think that you're right there. But thank you, soccer, for revitalizing the rivalry that is Leafs-Habs, because now people are finally talking about soccer and hockey in the same sentence.
Imagine that.
If for no other reason than to just talk about hockey, at least they reference soccer.
I was asked about this, though. You know, how will this fixture grow the sport in this country?
Mm, yeah.
My point was, I don't think it will. I think it's nice, and it's going to certainly won't hurt. It's going to help, but you need this as a kind of a sustained rivalry for a few years. These teams playing in these big games, throw Vancouver in the mix as well. That's how the game grows. I think a one-off this year is a great start, but I don't think it by itself is going to grow.
We have the history of the Amway Canadian Championship or whatever they're calling it now, you know, that big comeback by TFC that really...
Voyagers Cup.
Voyagers, yeah, is that what it is now?
Well, no, it's Boston Voyagers Cup.
That just, you know, blew soccer up in this country and people just... So much mainstream media attention to those Montreal.
You know what
sarcastic
I think? Yeah. You know who I think of when you say
that trait?
Say Amway Canadian Cup. Mm. Who is the tall Canadian defender that TFC had? He played in Vancouver before they were an MLS team, and we used to have him on the podcast all the time. He was like a model. He always has a smile on his face.
Adrian
Sirio.
Adrian Sirio.
I played in a charity tournament. D-Rose
he looked like
tournament
a model.
He was a model.
He was a model. But he always like beaming smile. Yeah. Like what?
No, he's a great guy.
Very very nice guy. But you say Amway Canadian Championship, and I immediately think of him smiling and waving to the 17 fans in the stands, going out there on Canada Day. And kicking the snot out of a League One, whatever the affiliates were before.
By the way, speaking of models, did you see the Portugal mannequin challenge?
It's the best one.
You seen it?
No, I haven't.
Guess who's front and center in just his underwear?
Bruno Alves.
No, incorrect.
No?
But apparently he was packing. He put a water bottle down his tidy whities, apparently.
Oh, really? Was that was the rumors on the troll comments? Do you read the comments?
No, actually that came from Danny Vecchio.
Oh, did it?
Who reads the troll comments?
On TV he said that?
No, we
did
didn't
you
get
run it?
To. We ran it, yeah.
You did run it?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That was just for the producer, Danny Fernandez, who had quite the arousal himself at seeing
Dan,
Portugal.
By the way, Dan is amazing. You can name any player in the world and he'll find some connection to Benfica. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, this seems to be the case. There's a lot of that going about.
Just as you said, that Adrian Kahn, these other guys, that's what I've kind of thought of as this happened. I just thought, God, the amount of crap that was out on that field for such a long time and the support that the fans, the long-standing ones, the ones there from day one, and the amount of garbage they've gone through, they deserve this. And the payoff is there. And you knew it would eventually come. It had to. Mm-hmm. And they're not there yet. But I think just getting here, I mean, having two home playoff games now, and it'll be a third, and you know, winning those games and being able to puff their chest out a bit and finally not be, for lack of a better term, embarrassed by the club on the field most of the time. Good for them, and they deserve it. And I think, you know, Montreal has not had such a long, tough road to get here. So, you know, good for them as well. And I'm sure it's awesome there. But just being around it day in, day out here for 10 years of the amount of garbage they've had to witness and the stuff they've had to see, it's this is for them for sure.
I thought the same thing, too. I went to the match against Philly. And before the match in the North End, they'd had, was it the Trues or Headley? Probably it was a Trues. Some band was playing. And a few minutes before kickoff or the anthems, the opening ceremonies with the giant sponsored soccer ball air balloons, they had D-Row and Brennan and Dicchio come out. And you got the impression from all three of them, particularly from D-Row, who has a real sense of pride in being from Toronto to celebrate this as a celebration, how happy they were to see that the team has finally come there. Mm-hmm. And you can tell it was the, you know... The long ago were the days where this wasn't even a pipe dream in the dressing room because it couldn't have been. Yeah. Now here they are.
But the thing is getting there, and that's before the Philly game. And I will say again, the kind of, you know, the cynic in me, I was like, well, they're going to go out and lose that game. They should win and they'll probably lose. And then I was like, oh, that's impressive. That's a good display. All right, now let's see what they can do over two legs. And to do that to New York, I mean, you know, there's reason for huge optimism, but I will just say it is TFC. Don't, just for their fans, don't get your hopes up too high and just try to enjoy it.
But there's a swagger about this team, right? It's a little bit different. And no matter what happens now, they could lose to Montreal and it would be crushing for the fan base. But I think they stomped all over those ghosts.
Mm. Yeah. No, I agree.
And I think next year, you know, they're going to come back maybe looking slightly different on the field. But they're a team now that I think is a relevant contender and should be for a number of years, you know, given the age of that group overall. So, yeah, it's fun, but I genuinely have some concerns for certain members of that fan base if they win this thing. Mm. My God.
Yeah. That will get ugly.
Could be really ugly. Yeah. We're talking some alcohol poisoning for sure. You know, falling over in front of a streetcar.
Tough that the games are Tuesday and a Wednesday as well.
For the record, I've never fallen over a streetcar, okay?
In front of one?
No.
Out of one?
Never.
Into one?
No. No? I probably would have stumbled out of one at some point.
I'm not much of a faller when I'm drunk, actually. Never have been.
Really?
Pretty
Is it that all of a sudden the core stability comes out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's funny how
enormous core strength.
At charity tournaments, though, that doesn't happen when your specially gifted, worn twice cleat digs in a bit too deep into the artificial turf.
I know. I should probably
Your core can't correct itself if to I, not
if I
go
drink
over.
Before I play, then I'll be a lot more sturdy in my feet, that's for sure. Okay, Premier League resumes again this weekend. It's been a long time since we last spoke about the Prem boys, and here we are now in November, approaching the Christmas schedule, and look who's in first place. A little team that wears red, and it's not Middlesbrough.
And they are chugging along.
Are they ever?
You must just be on cloud nine.
I'm pretty happy about it. Yeah. Just, it's entertaining football.
But there's no way they can win the title with that defense, right? Is there?
I would be surprised.
No.
It's a work in progress at the same time. It's improving. Yeah. I think Karius is going to be a pretty good goalkeeper. Look at Chelsea, a point behind, and as a balanced team, they're the superior team right now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool play the most exciting stuff. Yep. They're playing it's the team that you have to watch every week right now, and there's just so many options, and the way that attack is just three-pronged, four-pronged at times, you know, it's amazing to watch, and they're all going at once, but they need to buckle down and get some clean sheets and have that confidence defensively. I wish that they could put it all together at once, and hell, they're top of the table and they haven't done that. So it does, you know, they're still getting those results. They haven't lost in ages. And the one against Burnley, the second game of the season, you know, it was just a poor performance and you give it a pass. But since then, the fact that them and Chelsea don't have Europe to worry about, I know that's kind of that theme keeps banging on, but it's a huge one for them. And we saw it last weekend when they looked fresh and they looked so good attacking, and the other teams that have played in Europe all dropped points. So it could be a huge factor for them going forward.
We've got a tweet actually about Liverpool. Kobe says, can LFC hold on to Coutinho with rumors to Barca? Can they contend without Mane in January? Kobe, shut up. Don't bring it up. Not
African Cup of Nations, eh?
But they knew that when they signed. On.
Yeah.
There's depth
that's
in that
always
team.
The case.
But yeah, Kobe, shut up. Coutinho rumors. Just enjoy it, for Christ's sakes, right now, okay?
It's I'm Butter Chicken. Coutinho that's an old Coutinho school happens. One. Is at I'm Butter Chicken. That's an old school.
Yeah, no, it is, yeah. Long time listener.
Right. Oh, remember when we used to go for Venkies all the time after the podcast?
I had by the way, I had a roti last night.
Did you?
It burned the insides of my innards out. Insides of my innards.
But it was worth it?
But you're still,
my
you're
God,
still,
it was
still
good.
Worth
it. Was
it,
incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like sweating. My nose was running.
But you just kept eating it.
I ate the whole thing. Yeah, the wife was disgusted.
Yeah. Not the first time.
Not the first time.
Yeah.
The
just
first
can't
time.
Handle it.
She goes, why are you doing this to yourself? Why?
You're not
There's
your...
no reason.
Yeah.
It's too big to start with. It's too hot. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to be in pain tomorrow. Couldn't stop myself.
But she was right.
So, oh,
you're not in Yorkshire
incredible.
Anymore.
No.
Is that where the good curry's from? Or is it Lancashire? No, it's Yorkshire.
Yeah. Is it?
Isn't it?
I think it's Lancashire. Lancashire.
Oh, Venky's a Blackburn.
Ah, yes.
We're Blackburn, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not Yorkshire. Coutinho's goal against Argentina, by the way. Yeah, so they can't hold on to him.
He's a tasty little player.
They will finish the year with him, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
This, in every aspect.
He's not a January.
In every aspect, this team reminds me of the Suarez team that finished second a few years ago, except this team, I think, will score more goals. And as long as they continue to, like, bag three, the defense is good enough that as long as they're not playing a team that attacks them the same way or a team like Man City, which doesn't allow them as many counterattacking opportunities or as much time on the ball to create some of the plays that we've seen, I think that they're going to be better off more often than not.
Yeah, I think they can tear apart any team.
I mean, they're at Southampton this weekend. That's going to be a challenge, obviously. But you've got Sunderland, Bournemouth, West Ham, Middlesbrough. And you've got the big derby against Everton, Stoke.
Yeah, they've already played at Chelsea,
November,
right?
They can get a lot of points in November.
They already won at Chelsea. They already won at Arsenal. Yeah. They already played at Spurs as well. So I think the only one in the top five that they haven't gone away to that team yet is Man City, right? So that already is, okay, well, you've gotten those out of the way. They tore Arsenal apart the opening day of the season. They were able to tear Chelsea apart at times on that away game when they still weren't playing well. I think they can open up anyone in the league.
You
and that's what's
lost
scary
eight games
about them.
This season?
Sure.
8 games, right? So say they're in contention, last 8 games, right? Bournemouth, Stoke, West Brom, Palace, Watford, Southampton, West Ham, Middlesbrough.
Boom, 24
Crown
points.
Them. Crown them
there
now.
There you go, Sharms.
Right there.
They'll never slip up at
they
the
might,
end of the
they
year.
They might score 120 points this year.
No banana skins.
No. No, listen, it's obviously wide open. Chelsea scare the hell out of me. They've really come together. They found their, you know, what they are in this new formation. I still don't dismiss Man City at all, or Spurs.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think that...
Not to mention Arsenal. I should mention Arsenal. I mean, Christ. Maybe this is the year for Arsenal.
Neutrals want to see...
Or they buy Chris Smalling in January.
Neutrals want to see, you know, a race between 3, 4, 5 teams. Not this boring Leicester winning the league for fun like last season.
Is that done now, Leicester? Are you done with them?
No,
I love
the
Champions League.
I mean, the Champions League is...
Yeah. You look to see what the results this weekend?
I'm a little bit worried about how they're slipping down that table, though. I mean, you look at it, there is a lot of teams. I don't think they'll...
Ninth place, Burnley is... 4 points from safety, right? So it's ninth place Burnley.
Five losses
ninth
on
place.
The season.
I don't know if I realized that they had leaped into the top half, but yeah, 2 points from safety for Leicester is worrying.
Three losses all of last year. They got 5 already in 11 games. I mean, that's...
But Leicester supporters, they'll say it all the time. I mean, well, Gary Lineker says it for them. If you try, you know, you told them they're going to get relegated this year after, you know, getting out of the group stage in the Champions League and winning last year, they'll take it 100 times over.
Of course it will, yeah. What do you make of Manchester United? I saw a stupid column this weekend saying, you know, Mourinho's looked like he's been upset and miserable and not happy from day one. He's just looking for a chance just to get out of football entirely. That's based purely on the way he looks.
Huh.
I think he's in it for the
There was also
still,
that big article.
A lot of work at that club.
Yeah. There's that big article, though, too, where he's just always living in the hotel and he's not happy and he can't go out.
Why
and
is he in a hotel?
Yeah,
he can afford to rent a place, can't he?
He's never cooked for, I don't know, he's eating room service all the time. Kids are in school. And
it sounds like it does sound as though like he's afraid to get comfortable or for whatever reason doesn't want to attempt to get comfortable and have a home life. But I look at it the other way and think, here's someone who's so obsessed with his craft that he doesn't think about that. You're pointing out to him that he lives in a hotel. To him, it's normal because it allows him that he lives in a hotel on the road. Lives in a hotel in what's the summer for his players, and he's constantly working. So that's just become normal life where he can, you know, think to himself or optimally work at his best. And right now,
watch hotel porn
or watch that as well. It was the dad, The Hotels.com commercial. The kid gets blamed for that. Come on, you don't see the commercial?
Don't watch commercials.
If only we were sponsored, then you'd watch all of them.
Yeah, I would. And I'd buy their products too.
I think it's scary for me. You guys had the conversation on Match Day a couple weeks ago, I think. Has football passed him by? And I start to look at the, you know, you write the pros and cons list and you start to look at, okay, what's on the list for yes? It's like, ugh. Starting to seem like, you know, maybe. And he doesn't deal with adversity well, as we see every time he gets to the third year of a contract with one club. And now you're starting to have a lot of those issues already here in the first year. And if he doesn't overcome them, and you look at some of the things that he's doing that, you know, we think, well, why don't you just get Mkhitaryan some more minutes?
Yeah, I know.
Hey, why don't you use Depay when things are pretty weak?
Hey, why don't you get Carrick in there? Why don't you, yeah.
Well, that's working now, right?
Yeah, it is, exactly.
He's very stubborn. And most great managers are stubborn, right? Fergie was criticized for being too stubborn. Arsene Wenger's always criticized for being too stubborn. Maybe that's an issue, but I think it's to say the game's passed him by. He's not. He's smart. He's an intelligent guy. But he's still young enough. I think it's just he'll get this thing figured out. I mean, people say because he spent so much money, they should be a great team straight away. Well, they probably should be better than they are, admittedly.
Yeah.
But it's still very much a work in progress there.
Well, when he's banished to the stands and Rui Faria's on the sidelines, I mean, he's the guy. Dicchio told me, you know, I never knew Rui Faria's backstory. Did you know where he was found?
I think Dicchio told me the same story, actually.
He was a gym teacher. He was a PE teacher. And one of Mourinho's first jobs, he didn't have a payroll and he needed someone to be an assistant for peanuts. And he went to this school and watched this guy do some session and thought, I like this guy. Hey, you want to be my assistant?
Wow.
He hands in his resignation straight away.
Well, one of Pep's right-hand men, one of his top advisors, is a handball legend.
Wow.
He's this great leadership guru, and he relies on him and leans on him, and always has. Mm. So, you know, you look outside the box, they don't always have to be good football men
to
succeed.
Like the Cleveland Browns, they hired the guy that Jonah Hill played in Moneyball. It's working out well for them. God,
that's
I hate
right.
The NFL.
Well, Jurgen Klopp hired his impersonator.
Yeah, that guy.
Right, I'm
exactly
assuming
like
has
him.
To be his impersonator.
Yeah.
Why else would he be trying to replicate everything? That
he's the
Klopp
fitness
does.
Coach, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he was the top guy at Bayern, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I can't get over that.
Right.
Just if you,
I can't get around.
Shave
no
the beard, man, or change the haircut. I can't different color specs.
Oh, you can't go to the same. Well, they're probably going to team discount at Hakeem Optical. That's probably it.
Yeah, right? Probably what it is. Yeah.
Well, just send him. He sends him to his press conferences.
So I need news. Podcast brought to you by Hakeem Optical.
Did you go through a period where you wore glasses?
No. My eyes.
Have
are
I never
amazing.
Seen you with glasses
never.
Though?
No, never.
I feel like I can see.
No,
you with glasses.
I'd rock them. I'd love to wear a pair. Just change the face up, hide the bags. It'd be great.
Yeah.
But I actually saw today on the Daily Mail, you know, great piece of journalistic copy. They had a thing today testing your vision and your color, how strong you are, if you're colorblind or not.
Yeah.
And I aced it.
Wow.
And a very tiny percentage of people on the globe who have such great
all
lives.
Over it.
That's
eh?
Why your posture is better today. You walked in with such a gleaming, arrogant ego.
I puffing my chest up. So
that's why.
I'm not colorblind. Yeah. I can pick out shades.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right.
The Mrs. Brother is colorblind. When he's golfing, the green is a brownie color, and he can't see the ground variations.
How so he thinks he's in the rough, but he's like in the middle of the fairway.
No, not so much that. But if
why are you putting?
No. When he's on the green putting, he can't see that there's a hill
on
there.
The brown putting. Uh-huh. Right?
That's got to be tough.
Yeah, on the brown.
Is he still much better than you?
Considerably.
Yeah, okay.
How does he know he's colorblind? I always wonder this. If you've always been colorblind, and what I see as blue is what you see as green, for example,
Well, it comes to you at some point when you walk around wearing. When you walk around wearing, I don't know, yellow and purple, and it's like, oi, what are you doing? It happened when he was a kid. I think he was like 13 or something,
really?
And it was pointed out to him that.
Hmm. But the undulations, I can see that being an issue. You'd fall over all the time.
Yeah,
you couldn't live in the north of England.
You'd fall into streetcars.
No, you're right. Couldn't
fall
can't
out
go
of
Ireland.
Streetcars.
I'll be living in Saskatchewan or Manitoba.
He should play. I know he's living. You're right. He's living a high risk life in Vancouver.
No, too many hills.
He's got these glasses though, where you can actually see colors the way we see colors.
Really?
And it blew his mind the first time he put. The
I don't know. I don't
on.
Trust the color.
No pun intended. It blew his mind. All right.
Oh, very good.
Good.
Cleaned his mind. Browned his mind.
Excellent.
Clever.
that's probably about it. We've got. Well, yeah, it's actually been quite a long podcast.
Let's just keep going. Any this has been fun. Haven't gone to talk for a while. Did
Sheffield
you know?
United are on fire, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. League One, for all of those that care, 12 games unbeaten, 9 wins, 3 draws after starting the season with 1 point from 4 games. So up to third, into the second round of the FA Cup where they play Bolton. Megs and Wright, and
Right.
Now we're flying. Might be up in the championship next year.
Wow.
Play Dunlop's Villa.
I don't
if
know
they
about
can
that.
Stay up.
In,
Stevie Bruce will get your boys up. Keep
in
boys up
miles out. Well,
in Bruce, we trust.
Press,
they're soaring, okay? Unbeaten in
They've
five.
Only lost 3 times all year. 9 draws, Villa.
Yeah.
4
but
wins.
They always...
9 draws in 16 games.
They've always been a team concerned with the draw. Mm. I remember having a conversation on the podcast where I was complaining about them settling for draws, and you
probably
said
complaining when
they
were finishing 6th every year
this
with
is,
Martin
yeah.
O'Neill.
Well, this was when they were contending for Champions League places, yeah. And you can't just keep bagging draws. But yes, I'm quite happy to say that Steve Bruce is the savior, and I never thought I'd say that. But they, you know what? They didn't get the results under Di Matteo, but with the lot that Bruce has, like, they're a team to get results in the championship. They bought several good players who are championship players. Kaja, the striker.
Yeah, he keeps scoring.
Bagging goals
that,
now.
Yeah.
That's been good.
30 games to go. Lots of time. Only 5 points off the playoffs.
We were speaking before we came in about taking notes before the podcast, or, you know, every now and then
you didn't use
write a few things down. And then you realize, oh my God, I've got all these notes. There's no way we bring this up. Like, the New York Cosmos beat the Indy 11 4-2 on penalties after a goalless draw to win the NASL championship.
Why the hell would you write that down?
Yep, because remember when
else you got?
We used to have all that Cosmos gear? And the Cosmos
yeah.
was supposed
oh, yeah.
to do thing.
Yeah.
Great.
I still wear
Sharma and
has
that Pelé
shirt. All these big names nice. Associated with it. Mm. Big marketing push.
I used to like when we got free stuff.
I don't get any free stuff.
Gone are the days. Yeah, but think about all the free time we get to spend together at work.
It's definitely free time.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. Anything else you want to get to or not?
Messi rejected a new contract
offer.
Yeah,
but
that's a big story.
Tax situation cleared up. Oh, right? Well. He says at the same time that you know, he won't play for any other club. He'll play there at least as long as they want him there.
He also said he's done with Argentina.
So when he's playing, when he's playing in the Emirates, tax free, matching the $375,000 a week that Mannequin Man, underwear, bottle stuffer, whatever you describe Cristiano Ronaldo as.
Yeah. So I guess that's the bits and bobs. I can't think what the hell it was. Sure, it was great.
Something to do with Donald Trump.
No, it wasn't. Trying to avoid
something
that
to do with that the Indian you ate last night.
No, it wasn't.
No,
that was
wasn't
a good business.
Formula
wasn't.
One.
Let's be honest.
They never should have ran the Brazilian Grand Prix. See the rain? God,
no,
they were lucky there was no accidents.
Yeah,
serious accidents.
I haven't followed F1 for so long.
It's because it's awful.
Yeah.
Though it is coming down to the final race of the season.
Rosberg and Hamilton, right?
If Nico finishes second.
Look at you, right?
I know. I saw a headline about it yesterday.
Lewis has to win. And if Nico finishes second or even third, he'll still wrap the championship up. But come on, Abu Dhabi. Make it a thriller.
Actually, I had a bits and bobs about your dad, but I'll talk to you off air about
it. All right.
All right.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. All right. That's it. We've been back. I doubt we'll be back next week. Actually, we won't be, because I'll be possibly be on the way to Montreal.
They're not sending you on Monday morning.
I don't know. Whenever I want.
You and I should do it anyway. You and I will do it anyway, punters.
All right. Weekend. Don't forget another podcast on Thursday. Check out sportsnet.ca for all your footballing needs. Lance Kennedy behind the glass. Thank you. I know you've missed us. Cheers for listening.